Welcome back. Farm Talk, Mick Kerr here in Jamestown, North Dakota, on the road. Found it important to come to this event here today. It's a Monty's Plant Food, Plant for Growth event. Farmers learning a lot about how to maximize profits on the farm. And from Midwest Seed Genetics in Cicero, Indiana. Hey, come, how'd you get here? Because all the planes seem to have shut down. Doug Goodman.
Yes, I've been here actually since a week ago Sunday. When I come to the Dakotas, I usually work up here for two straight weeks. So the Fairfield Inn is a second home away from home for me, yes.
Yeah. So the North Dakota winter is a little different than Indiana this time, or maybe every year.
It was 76 degrees warmer when I left Indianapolis a week ago. So yeah, quite a bit different.
This is your 36th year of working with seed genetics. And I guess now everybody kind of reminisces about the good old days, but these are the good old days of the future, aren't they?
Well, I'd absolutely agree with that. And yes, I retired after 25 years with Peterson Genetics Incorporated on August 31st. And the owner of Midwest Seed Genetics, Don Funk, I've been a friend of his and worked with his companies over the past 30-plus years, putting together soybean lineups. And he told me retirement wasn't so much fun for him. And so I decided to join his team and work specifically with genetics adapted for the Dakotas.
What are you discovering? What's different in the Dakotas versus the I states?
Well, number one, rainfall. I know this year around Jamestown, to the north here, they had excellent rainfall late in the growing season. We had several quarter sections in this area of soybeans go above 70 bushel. But it's far more than that. On a local or regional basis, you have to have stress tolerance. One of the key factors there is charcoal rot tolerance. Charcoal rot is a late season drought disease, which is common in this area. That's one of the three diseases. If you're combining soybeans and you see dead leaves on the plant, you know you either had charcoal rot, brown stem rot, or sclerotinia white mold. The most common one out here is charcoal rot. It can take 5 to 25% of the yield right off the top because it shuts the plant down and you can't have nutrient or moisture flow during the pod formation and grain fill. So stress tolerance, that disease, charcoal rot. Beyond that, when we're looking at Dakotas, one of the key factors is salt tolerance. It's interesting. I look at brochures from multiple companies here in the Dakotas. They rarely ever mention salt tolerance. I've got access to 24 locations annually where we take salt tolerance notes. Add to that pH tolerance or IDC tolerance. You kind of have a general idea of what we're looking for in the Dakotas. If you go to Michigan, for instance, completely different. You're liable to get over 20 inches of rainfall during the grain, growing season. So you don't worry about charcoal rot or stress tolerance. Over there, their big diseases are white mold and Phytophthora root rot. So for that area, you'd need a completely different cultivar or soybean varieties than you need here.
Which is, I think the pathologists around this part of the world are trying to educate farmers on the now sudden emergence of charcoal rot around here. Or has it been around for a long time, Doug?
It's been here as long as we've been growing soybeans, and it's amazing to me. I rode the combines, took several plots out this year, several fields, and guys are combining, and they, unless somebody educates them what to look for, they're used to seeing dead leaves on beans. But when I see dead leaves on beans at harvest, I know there's a disease problem, and I know that we cut our top end yield potential off. So by going towards varieties that are stress tolerant, brown stem rot tolerant, charcoal rot tolerant, we can get away from those things, as well as we do have a few lines that are very good on Sclerotinia white mold resistance, which there's no tolerance. There is no such thing as resistance to Sclerotinia white mold.
As sunflower growers have known for four decades or so around here?
Absolutely, and not only that, we run into potatoes and dry beans, and so some of the rotations are complicating that white mold problem. For instance, to the northwest in the Pettibone area, where they irrigate a lot, and further west they may have potatoes, white mold, soybeans, white mold, and then one crop of corn before they go back to potatoes. Well, you've got two crops there that contribute significantly to the sclerotia or the Sclerotinia disease pressure, and you really have to come up with a strategy to combat the potential losses due to that disease.
Sure. All right, visiting with Doug Goodman, Midwest Seed Genetics. And what should a farmer ask his seed guy as far as what kind of resistance or tolerance that the new genetics has?
Well, I think we kind of described that. It's interesting also, there are areas of this state where Phytophthora resistance and tolerance are highly coveted, if you will. And there's some confusion around that. I've been intimately involved with Phytophthora issues, especially in the state of Ohio over years. Everybody talks about RPS 3A and RPS 1K and the different genes for resistance. They're important, but they're not all that effective. It's really the field tolerance that we need to watch closely and make sure that we have a very good or excellent field tolerance in each variety. So when I'm looking at North Dakota, which is where I'm at today, I'm looking at the Phytophthora score, the brown stem rot score, and especially pH tolerance or iron deficiency chlorosis, stress tolerance, charcoal rot, and how it's going to handle these high salt content soils around what you guys call the sloughs. Yeah. I always call those the potholes back home.
It's where the geese fly over and sometimes land. And
right. Yeah.
All righty. Well, seed companies, genetics companies that provide traits and genetics to the seed companies, you've been doing on plot trials, on farm trials for decades, and farmers should do the same, shouldn't they? They should be testing what they're planting.
Definitely testing, and I'm moving more towards a strategy of, we have all this technology. I'm going to be attending a seminar next week put on by John Deere. Their yield monitors and so forth are going to a cloud-based program, so you'll be able to retrieve data. If we do a good job planting and outlining our fields, there's a ton of side-by-side information that's available right in the cab. It's going to be easier to download that. And if I've had a favorite variety that I've been using a couple of years, then if I'm trying something new, I'm going to be doing side-by-side comparisons. I know this year I had a couple of instances where, it's pretty amazing when half of a quarter section goes 42 bushel and the second half goes 11 bushel better. That information, unfortunately, a lot of times sits in a combine and never gets utilized. And so data and the accumulation of that is going to be extremely pertinent moving forward.
Words of wisdom from Doug Goodman, Midwest Seed Genetics. Thank you very much for being in North Dakota and toughing out the winter with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mick.
You bet.